This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling with the gang all back together as we're getting ready for Elimination Chamber in Toronto on Saturday. I'm Gabe Nutzel from ESPN Milwaukee, from ESPN West Palm. He is Brian Rowitz, and catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago, Jonathan Hood. Well, the Elimination Chamber getting a little bit more interesting because the final boss showed up on SmackDown on Friday night, cutting, I think it was about a half hour long segment, kind of a long meandering promo that eventually landed on him wanting Cody Rhodes' soul. Could be taken in a number of different directions. In fact, they continue to talk about it on Monday Night Raw, and we know The Rock is going to be in Toronto for Elimination Chamber with Cody Rhodes. So that brings us to this question. At WrestleMania, what match does that Rock promo lead to?
Well, because The Rock, because The Rock, we don't know. We could try to figure it out together as a team, but I will just say that the very unhinged Rock promo, we do know that he's the final boss and that he is the man, but you are right, Gabe, the meandering, confusing, kind of repetitive promos saying that my dad's dead, your dad's dead. I have a family, you have a family. You are a wrestler, I'm a wrestler. I mean, just like, dude, that helicopter promo was something, wasn't it? I mean, that was...
Did anyone tell him that's not Netflix? Like, SmackDown's not on Netflix. There are time constraints. Did anyone warn him of that?
But he's on the board. I mean, shouldn't he know this? This is information as a member of the board should know. And, like, I think he turned heel and babyface more than Big Show did in his entire career in that 30 minutes alone. Like, he was all over the place.
This is a problem. This is the problem where it's 1 minute. It's like, thanks, New Orleans, for coming out, for supporting SmackDown. And on the other side, I'll knock the syphilis off your face on the same promo. So it's just very strange. So why do I believe that this comes back around to Punk and Cody based on the favor that's owed to CM Punk from Paul Heyman? How does that work for The Rock? I don't know. All I know is that when we get to Elimination Chamber, that Cody's going to say, no, you know, I'm the champion of the people, not the champion of you. I'm a company champion, but not the champion of you. And somehow, some way, The Rock's going to be the third base coach, waving in different mercenaries between Elimination Chamber and Mania. And somehow it comes back to Punk.
Yeah, I don't hate that. Like, to me, this feels like we're going down the path of almost Austin Vince, and Rock is going to play that Vince role, and we're going to have a corporate champion. Punk turning heel would be a fun story. So I'd be on board with that. Obviously, we've talked about Rock Cody. Rock flat out said at the presser, which seemed unnecessary, that not every feud has to end in a match. So I guess he's not stepping in the ring. But like,
well, at least not right now. Yeah, at least not right now, right? It doesn't seem like he's going to be wrestling at Mania. He's going to be around, but he's not, to me, going to be wrestling at Mania, because even though he does have about 6 weeks at this point, I don't think it's a different type of workout. Obviously, The Rock is a mountain of a man. He's working out. He's in his, you know, Iron Paradise, whatever he likes to call it. But it's a different type of workout that he'd have to be training for, right? To get ready for a match, you know, at WrestleMania. So it doesn't seem like that would be it. I don't know if, I mean, I played this out. I'm with you. I think Rock, Cody, and that promo eventually leads CM Punk in there. It doesn't make sense for Cena to be involved right now, especially if they're going to do deep storytelling, right? Like, they're trying to tell a story here. I don't know how much Cena is going to be around other than the dates they've announced overseas. I don't know what Cena would be around for a build to WrestleMania, and somebody's got to be there. Rock's not, somehow Rock has appeared more on television than John Cena has this year, which is just crazy town, but that's the position we find ourselves in. So I think Punk makes the most sense, especially if he turns heel. But if Cody is the one who turns heel, but then Punk gets Roman in the favor as Roman interferes on behalf and then, you know, pisses off The Rock, and then that can set up Rock Roman down the road. I don't know. Like, the one thing I feel pretty confident in, Punk's winning Chamber, the favor's getting cashed in at some point, and I think that means we get Cody Punk at Mania, which makes the most sense.
You're ruling out Cena corporate champ, right?
Correct. I don't think we're going to wait 25 years to turn that man heel.
No better time than the present.
I mean, I think it's all on the table, guys. I think it's all on the table. I said on the show that I thought that The Rock would have some involvement at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just at Netflix in Los Angeles, like hugging Cody, everything's cool. I always thought he had some involvement. I didn't know if he's going to wrestle. I didn't know if he'd be a second on the outside. I knew he'd be involved. But here's the thing about this, though, is that I feel also, and I haven't talked to anybody, haven't heard any information, but I just feel like that the WWE just goes by the whims of when The Rock is available. I feel like there's going to be a documentary after this thing like, well, you know, The Rock was not going to be a part of WrestleMania, but then he found some time after Moana, and so now we had to try to figure him in into the story. It's kind of like leaving it wide open for the main event of WrestleMania like this twice is very dangerous.
Yeah. But, I mean, it might have been a coincidence, but, like, The Rock announced Friday he was going to be on Friday SmackDown. It was a big surprise to everyone. Cody earlier in the month said, oh, here's my world tour, and had different dates. And for Friday's date, it was like a clip of him and Rock. So it might have been a coincidence, or they might have known that. But, yes, it does feel like the Mania main event, even though we're less than 2 months away, is just sort of like, yeah, we'll figure it out.
But at least it's got intrigue to it now, right? Like, I feel like the build for Mania had been kind of – and granted, I mean, last year ended up being way different the way – again, it ended up working out beautifully. It was different than what they originally planned with Rock and Roman, and they end up going with Cody, and it ends up working out beautifully, the build to it being fantastic, all the promos that The Rock cut. I don't know if this was just The Rock was out of, like, practice being the final boss and like just didn't know how to like come back, because he's also like tweeting about, oh, I love playing this character. Yeah. Like, what the, come on, man. Like, well, I mean, I know kayfabe's, you know, basically dead, but do we have to go on social media and be like, oh, I love playing this character? I don't think we need to be doing that.
I just think that in this quote-unquote Netflix era of WWE, you can be open with some of this stuff, but it's almost like when, you know, you see a TV series and then they say, you know, after this episode, see the behind the scenes of this. You know what I do? I hit the TV and turn it off.
Right.
Because I don't want to know. I don't want to know the character outside of what I'm seeing on the show. Maybe after the series, we could do something. Like, I watched The Chi on Showtime, and always they're trying to throw at you, hey, make sure you stay tuned so to find out what was about the thought behind the series. I don't want to know you like that. I don't want to know you like that. Seriously. So why do I want my wrestling? So here's what happens on SmackDown, right? We watch The Rock, and he's in and out of babyface and heel. And if that's a character, that's awesome because that makes him unhinged. But I feel like it was what we saw from him on NXT, where his daughter says, hey, you know, you're The Rock. You'll find a way to come up with the words. And guess what? He didn't come up with the words. It was terrible on the CW, right? So I think that the aftermath of him being part of the press conference, and he's got the glasses on, now he's Dwayne Johnson. Now he's not the final boss. Now he's just Dwayne Johnson. And saying, you know, we don't really have to have a match. And Cody and I had tequila afterwards, and we thought it was a great segment. What are we doing here?
Right.
Can I get a little bit of imagination? Just a little? Do you have to be wide open with everything? Do you have to tell everybody what you're thinking? We know what wrestling is. We know that. It's entertainment. It's a wink and a nod. We know what it is. But now you're going to sit down with your glasses on, just like, yeah, you know, we had some tequila and talked about it, and boy, we had a great time with that segment. Can't wait for next week. Why?
It kind of feels like this is not going to happen, but like, can we just get rid of the post-show press conferences, whether it's a PLE, a pay-per-view, or like, let's just get rid of them. Nobody knows what they are. Nobody knows what they're for. It just confuses everything. Obviously, WWE, I think WWE started them because AEW had started doing them, and I think AEW started doing them because New Japan had done them previously. Yep. Like, it's just this chain of events. But especially in the WWE, we just don't need this, man. Like, nobody knows what they're for. I doubt that many people are staying up late on Peacock or YouTube to watch this afterwards. Like, let's just bang this whole thing and have everybody go home.
Yeah, like, I've sat in the AEW ones where you get some news out of it. Tony's real and open. And then you also get the kayfabe, like, Christian making fun of media members. The WWE ones are a complete waste of time. Like, they're in character. They're not answering anything. They only call in a few people. It's like, I don't understand the point of it, but even this one being after a SmackDown, like, it was just so Dwayne can get behind a mic and say, oh yeah, wrestling.
Again, like, you don't need these in AEW. While they have been better in AEW and have led to like iconic moments in AEW, they're not moments that Tony's proud of.
No,
like CM Punk sitting there eating muffins. Like, there is a real possibility if these post press conferences did not exist that CM Punk is still in AEW today. Like that's point. That is a possibility. And the fact that they still happen is just wild to me.
But Jack Perry need real glass, bro.
Right.
Cry me a river. Cry me a river, bro.
So, yeah. So, but I digress on that point. When it comes to The Rock, I hope that he doesn't meander the way he does on Saturday, right? Like, I hope Triple H is able to rein him in and be like, hey, bud, let's focus this thing down, because they were eventually able to focus him down on television last year, and it led to a great build. If he can stay focused, I think we can potentially still get something great out of this.
The Soul Man, son of a plumber. My family, your family. Wrestling family, wrestling family. My daughter, your daughter. Look, here's what's going to happen. March 1st, Elimination Chamber. I want your soul. No soul, some soul. Let's go. I mean, he's become Charles Barkley. He really is. He's become Charles Barkley, just repeating the same whole thing three times. That's what he's doing. You know, by the way, just one other thing about the press conference. I did notice that, okay, so there was news out of there because Russell Mays is going to be in New Orleans.
Yes.
Brian, you are booked up. You ready to go?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, so WrestleMania New Orleans. The media that The Rock talked to was the local stations. There was no wrestling media in the room. Do you know that?
No, like, it's SmackDown on a Friday. Like,
there was no
SRS is jumping in. Going to a random Friday SmackDown.
So it was just like the local channels, and they're just all in awe, like, oh, okay, so this is a work. Okay.
And
all
right, so now that you say that, like, they probably didn't plan on being there. If you're a local TV outlet, the news is on, so you can't be there. Like, now I'm wondering who actually was in that room.
Maybe anyone? a couple local channels. That's about it.
11 o'clock Eastern doesn't work for a TV news station.
That's what happened. So I thought that was bizarre too. So look, I wrote down Punk and Roman and Seth and McIntyre and some kind of bloodline character. I don't know what the direction is. I just think that Punk and Cody have to be one of the main events, if not the main event of WrestleMania, because otherwise, what is it?
So do you think we get the turn at Elimination Chamber? Like, are we going to know who's representing The Rock? You assume Cody says no, Rock's pissed off, or does it just sort of get drawn out for the next few weeks?
If Cody says no, to me, that's The Rock is going to be showing up on Monday Night Raw trying to convince CM Punk that they should, despite their differences, despite their past, they should be teaming up. So, you know, and I think that's the way they go. But that obviously, I don't think that just quickly happens after Elimination Chamber, which if they're doing an unsanctioned match, are they putting that in the middle of the card? Like, I thought the unsanctioned match, lights out matches typically were like main events, but it doesn't make sense to have anything but the men's chamber match be the main events. I digress.
Or is Rock Cody the main event? Like, it's a very weird card. There's only five things on it, but like, four of them, or I guess three, could be the actual main event.
Yeah. But if Cody says no, if Cody says yes, obviously you have build off of that. But if Cody says no, I think there's a build for the next handful of weeks. And maybe even, like, it's in limbo and whether or not Punk is going to be his corporate champion, and then Rock ends up interfering and we, you know, close the curtain on Sunday with CM Punk as champ.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, Cody's saying no. There's too much merch on the line to say yes to The Rock. Like, that's not, I mean, he's not saying yes. Could you imagine? Yes, I will be with you, The Rock. Okay, so then, okay, you don't have enough heels to take on Cody. So that's why he's going to say no, and then it's going to be a factory of heels going after Cody. Because it's what you just laid out, Gabe. This is Vince Russo, this is Eric Bischoff, this is Vince McMahon, whoever's Sergeant Slaughter, whoever's ever been a GM that runs a show, this is who The Rock's going to be. And The Rock's going to be able to run the show as the guy that says, okay, Cody, you're not going to be my champion? I'll find someone who's going to be my champion.
Right.
That very well could be like a Seth Rollins, because he's teeter-tottering on heel. I don't want to see Seth and Cody though. That's the thing.
Same with McIntyre. I'm in the same boat there. Where like McIntyre would make sense, but like, do you want to see Cody and Drew in the main event?
Cody and Drew. No.
Would it be good? Like, look, right now it's not my top choice. I have no doubt I would be super into it by the time we got to Mania. Like, in the 6 weeks they would have to tell a story. Like, I fully trust Drew, Rock, and Cody be able to put something together that's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then, but I just think it's someone that will say, yes, because you're the final boss and you're the boss of all of this, because this is what they put out there. More than Triple H, more than anybody else, he's the final boss. So the final boss says, okay, I want you to be in the main event. And someone has to acquiesce. Someone's got to do it. So,
yeah. So that's, we'll have to wait and see the direction. That's not the direction I was anticipating and fight for Cody Rhodes' soul, but that's where we're at heading into Elimination Chamber. We dive into some of the other top stories in the world of pro wrestling. We call it the three count here on GKW. Brian, what's number one this week?
All right, let's move over to the world of AEW. We saw some more Death Rider action last night. We're a week away from Cope versus Mox. Let's project forward. Who winning the AEW world title would make the whole Death Rider story worth it?
Before I answer the question, I want to ask you guys a question. Has the last 2 weeks of Death Riders been not bad? I don't know if I want to say it's good, but it hasn't been bad. Like, I feel the mission of Cope trying to pick off them one by one. Like, I really like the way it played out on Collision. I enjoyed especially Willow coming down last night to deliver the concerto to Marina Shafir. Like, I enjoyed that. I feel that Adam Copeland has made the Death Riders more palatable over the last couple of weeks.
But
would you agree or disagree?
Well, I would agree. You said not bad.
I'm not saying it's good.
What I'm going to say is that, okay, so the World Heavyweight Champion is part of a faction. Again, he's the champion. You haven't seen the belt the light of day for months now. But the number one faction in AEW cannot be the Cincinnati Reds. I'm just like, oh, Reds? Oh, they got Tito Francona? Oh, not bad. Not bad doesn't work for the world championship and the bloodline and the this group here that he's in. So I would just say
I'm also to your point, Hood. I'm not convinced even if Cope wins next week, we see the title. I feel like there's a whole other turn to take.
Oh, we
like
don't
they
see
open the briefcase and like the pigeons fly out like a magic trick.
That'd be great.
It's a dead one like Arrested Development. Yes.
That's great. There's no title in there. It's just pigeons flying out like a magic trick. So please, but Gabe, tell us now. You say it's not bad. So
I don't think it's bad. I still think they need to end it as soon as possible. So like, I don't think there's anybody out there like at this point that could make the Death Riders worth it. They just killed it in the bad way, in the worst type of way over the last handful of months. I think that Cope has made it more palatable, and I feel like Cope winning would be just more interesting going forward because you've got so many other things going on around it, whether it's MJF, whether it's Hangman Adam Page, whether it's Swerve Strickland being pleaded with by Prince Nana to kind of become the killer that we're all used to seeing him being, which means having a little bit more probably heel tendencies. So having that baby face as your champion, I think lines up with what AEW has more going on right now. I think Cope needs to win this thing. I think we need to just put the Death Riders to bed. He's picking them off one by one with concertos. Everybody can go away and get a fresh start in how many ever months you want to take to bring them all back.
Okay, so in the way AEW is going to book, here's what I will believe is going to happen. So we get to Cope versus Moxley. Cope wins the championship, and then Christian catches in, and Christian's the champion.
Hell yeah.
I don't like that, but I think that's what's going to happen. And the reason why I don't like that is because ultimately, Christian is at a certain level. There's a ceiling on his success. He's a great promo. He's very good in the ring. He's very consistent. Nothing wrong with that. I've always been a Christian fan. But it's clear that Hangman Adam Page is the hottest thing going right now in that company. The back and forth between Page and MJF has been very interesting. We've talked about this on the show a lot. It is weird that Hangman Adam Page burned someone else's house down, but yet is the biggest babyface in the company. MJF made fun of it. And it's
drank
weird, but
bourbon outside of it, and it's part of his entrance on the Jumbotron when he comes in.
Like babyface.
Yeah, like not only did he do these things, not only was it not that long ago that he did these things, but they constantly put it out there to remind us that he did these things.
Little different than hustle, loyalty, and respect. Different path.
No, you're totally right about that. 100%. So I know that's in Brian. You cut that if I hit that prediction correctly, but I think that's the direction that they're going. Like Cope wins a championship, yay! And then don't forget Christian from the back, 1, 2, 3. I don't want that because I think that Adam Page has been the hottest guy right now. They're pushing him, so that should be the guy. Now, I know we got to worry about Los Angeles and Revolution. What does that look like for Texas, for Dallas, Texas?
Right.
Like, what does that look like? What does that look like for Double or Nothing? Like maybe Moxley holds on the title until they get to Dallas. I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing. We all talked about it when Death Rider started, that was sort of the end game, was Dallas. Mm-hmm. Was, hey, this will be a big moment. You know, Mox holds the belt until then. Darby was sort of who we envisioned at that point, but he's busy. No,
that's who
mountains.
You envisioned. All right, that's okay. Who you envisioned. Darby's your guy. All right, like I don't want to be dragged in with your guy, Darby Allin. I believe Hood and I said Darby Allin world champion. We said those words together, all right. And we're like, nah, we're good. So yes. Darby's your guy. All right,
fine. I thought Darby would get it in Dallas, but like that's 5 months away. So like. Christian losing the title in Dallas doesn't have the same impact, at least I don't think it does, as Mox losing it. But I don't know if we can go 5 more months.
I can't go much. Like I love John Moxley. I don't want to hate John Moxley, and I feel like I'll hate John Moxley. Like, and not in the endearing pro wrestling way. Like in the X-Pac heat go away category. If Mox is still champ, and this is still kind of the same circle we find ourselves spinning in with him as world champ in 5 months, I thought they were going to tell something interesting and compelling, and they have not. They have made just about every wrong decision when it comes to the Death Riders on a pretty weekly basis, except for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. So the two guys you mentioned, Hangman and Swerve, like they've been champion before. Them beating Mox, them beating Christian doesn't feel like a moment. And I feel like we almost need a heel champion going into Dallas. But like, I mean, the only other name I wrote down just because of the Mox ties is Eddie Kingston. And I know that's a personal thing, but like face of the company, save the company, come back.
He's not ready. No, he's not
back soon.
You want to, I just retweeted at GKW_wrestling, okay. By the way, a quote from Eddie Kingston. And, I will tell you that he is not ready.
Let him get the rock glasses.
Yeah, he is not ready to come back. But please talk among yourselves. But he said that he's not even watching the product lately. Yeah, here it is. It says, I haven't watched anything but stuff I want to watch. I haven't watched AEW. I haven't watched New Japan. I watch old New Japan, and I've watched King's Road stuff, and I've watched early Noah. That's it, because I don't want to see anything because I know it's just going to piss me off. I don't want to watch AEW. My own company is paying me because I know it's going to piss me off. That's a great quote.
What the hell, man? What the hell?
That's my guy. I love him.
God, bless. You can't make that guy champion.
Well, it's kayfabe. He's lying to us. It's wrestling.
Oh, when they gave him all the championships, he was like, nah, I'm not good. I suck. don't put me over. Don't put me over. Like, so he hasn't even watched his own company because he says it's going to piss him off. Oh, that's good. Put the title on him. That's good.
Well, yeah, so that's the point, though. There's no one that, like, Dallas needs to be their WrestleMania. We talk about WrestleMania booking being slow right now when it comes to Hunter. AEW, I know, have a little bit more of a runway, but, like, we should be building towards a big moment in Dallas, and we're not doing that right now.
But who would that big moment be for?
No one comes to mind.
Will Ospreay, but how do you get there? How do you get there? He's still fighting with Don Callison's family. Like, this has to stop too.
Like putting the belt on Kenny, does that do anything?
So me and 18,000 people in Dallas are going to watch Kenny Omega as the champion with the bad stomach.
Right.
Like, what are we doing? Like, so, I mean, look.
No, I mean, you have to ride, like, Hangman winning that title, Brian. I know he's a past champion, but, like, who cares? Like, I guess it doesn't always have to be a first-time champion. Like,
no, I think
if CM Punk wins the title this year, he's a past champion. Who cares? Like, but winning that is the moment because Punk is hot. If you continue to heat up Adam Page the way that you have over the last couple of weeks, and you're able to continue that momentum for months going forward, the place is going to go crazy if he wins the championship in Dallas.
I guess that's my worry, is that, and it's based on AEW booking in the past, is can you keep Hangman hot for 5 months? Because AEW booking is not exactly long-term. Like, there are parts that tell long-term stories, but keeping someone hot, it's like, eh.
Which is why I think we find ourselves in this Christian mess, by the way. Like, right. I feel like they gave the clipboard to Christian and then just had no idea what to do with it and now find themselves in this awkward situation where this isn't working out. And now they're going, well, Edge versus Christian, that's going to be great, right? People are going to want to see that again. And that's
and remember, they also wasted one of Brian's last matches on Christian.
I mean, again, I'm not trying to disrespect Christian. He's just booked horribly as someone that's carrying a clipboard, and I don't want to see him as the heavyweight champion of AEW. Just don't.
Nope.
Yeah. If I felt like the rest of the company was, you know, on a certain level where it's like, boy, they're on the rise, they're hot, you give Christian a championship, okay, for a few months, that's fine. I just, at this point in time, the way the company is, where you don't really have anyone that's super hot, Christian as champion feels so TNA to me. Like, I don't think that's, you don't need to do that right now.
Nope.
So, and I respect Christian. And are we pining for Edge versus Christian? Are you sure we want to see that?
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think that's what Tony Khan thinks. He's just kind of panicking, going, well, if we could make Cope champion, and then I can cash this in, we can get rid of that. And, you know, it's...
Jay White?
Well, I mean, Jay White should have took the pinfall in Australia.
Yeah.
but it was Cope.
Hanging around that. I guess FTR, by the way, not friends with Cope anymore. They're not there to help any. They've just moved on with their lives.
I guess so. I guess it's... I guess it's the champion.
Yeah. Right? They're hanging out with they're hanging out with the TNT champ.
It's rough.
Bad booking.
Yeah.
There's some great things in this company. There's some really good things in this company. Like Tony Storm, how they're booking Ricochet. Really good stuff.
Oh, I think there's some really interesting stuff. And honestly, even though I scratch my head at the logic of doing this like international championship, we'll have the international championship here and then the winner gets this person and I forget what they called it. And even though we know Takeshita was going to win last night, like it was a great main event.
Yeah.
Like it was a great main event with him and Orange Cassidy. So there are some good things. Like the women's division, I think, is very strong right now, and that's really interesting. I think there are a handful of good things going on right now, but the problem is, if your main event is like one of the worst things in the company, you can only climb so high.
Well, you mentioned Ricochet. Would you be okay with him as a world champ?
Not at this time.
Because if you play it out that way, Cope win next week, Ricochet beats Swerve.
Yeah,
Ricochet wins at the next pay per view, and then he drops it in Dallas.
My God, Swerve got to keep losing to Ricochet. Keeps losing, yeah, huh? Come on. Wow,
yeah, Nana turned.
I mean, if he loses, like Nana's gone. Like Nana's gone.
Turned,
like,
I think, and Nana cost him and aligns with Ricochet.
There was some breadcrumbs there because Nana walked away from Swerve. So
yeah.
Nana turning heel and going alongside Ricochet because Ricochet's got the jacket. That's so 1992, by the way. This happened with Bret Hart and and somebody where there was a battle over the jacket in 92. Like, jacket, really? Jacket gate. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an important jacket.
Yeah.
Jacket.
Okay. I don't know why Tony Khan just can't, just give him his jacket back. But I digress.
It was Carl Louette. That's what it was. It was the now PCA. It was a battle over the jacket. Him and Brett. Go ahead.
Number two, this Saturday night, Toronto, 7 o'clock, Elimination Chamber. 5 segments, we'll call them, announced on the card as of now. Men's Chamber, Women's Chamber, Unsanctioned KO vs. Sammy, Tiffany Stratton and Trish versus Nia and Candice, and Cody will answer The Rock. Which match are you most interested in at Elimination Chamber?
So the two I'm debating between right now, Sammy and KO, just because I want to know where it ends up on the card. Because again, lights out matches usually are at the end of the card because lights are out, the show is over. But if you want to stick around for this unsanctioned thing, feel free to stick around. So I'm curious where that ends up and how it turns out, because right now neither one of them really have a direction for WrestleMania. So I think that's really interesting. But honestly, I think the thing I'm most interested in is the women's chamber, because I have no idea like who the favorite should even be in this match. I mean, I know Hood and I talked about it a little bit last week, but I can't figure out who the best person in that chamber match is to be facing Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania.
No one's hot.
No
one's hot on the women's side. It's
no, But it's going to be a banger of a match. Like, Alexa Bliss is going to jump off something crazy. Like, I think Roxanne Perez is probably going to do some crazy stuff in there, too, to try to establish herself as the young gun in that match. Like, I think it's going to be a great match. I just don't know what direction they're going to go.
So I think it's KO and Sammy because of how it's laid out. Like, when KO tells Sammy, come find me in Toronto, that's not in the ring, clearly. That's in the back someplace or some alley. I just think that might be, well, hell, they only have, like you said, five segments, five events. So that's before the men's elimination chamber. Or maybe if it's in the, because how do Trish Stratus and Tiffany and Tiffy Time follow that? So I think that should be before the men's elimination chamber.
That tag match feels like it opens.
Oh,
yeah.
Women's chamber open and then the tag. That's...
Women's chamber opens. They got to make sure it works. They got to make sure that they lower the K. All right, let's test that with the women's. Is that going? All right, we good? All right, that's good.
So, but then Dwayne's doing a middle of the show segment?
Yeah, that's halftime.
that's the intermission. Okay. His promo is going to be so long. Like, you can get up, go get your beer, go to the bathroom. By the time you come back, he's finally going to ask Cody Rhodes if he's going to give him his soul.
So the way Hunter books then, and that means you have to put the tag match after that so they can adequately cut time from it. Like, hey, Dwayne went 47 minutes. You guys got 90 seconds. Go.
And that'll be a documentary on WWE. That's like, we had 15 minutes, but it was kind of far. That's not going to work. So what if the Rock is the main event? He can book himself. What if he's after the men's elimination chamber and the person who wins the chamber attacks Cody when Cody says no at the end of the show? Is that possible?
Yeah.
Is it possible? Sure. But does it feel weird ending a PLE with a
beatdown?
With a promo?
A beatdown. Not just a promo. Beatdown.
Well, sure. Because, sure. Beatdown. But it's a promo segment. That's what you end Monday Night Raw with.
I mean, it's a good visual. Like, Rock and Punk standing there holding up the title over a beaten down Cody.
Ah. Now you got something there. Now you got something there, pal.
Maybe a little blood. Maybe.
A little blood?
Just a little bit. Just a splash. Just a splash.
Yeah.
I mean, not as much as Christopher Daniels last night. Yeah. You know, a little less than that.
Did the cameras catch him jabbing himself, by the way?
Yep.
No.
Well,
no.
I think he was kind of hitting himself, maybe.
Okay.
To try to get the blood to come out a little bit more.
I'm just trying to give him the benefit of the doubt for him just checking rather than for him to cut. Because there's no blade. If you notice, like, his hand was open. It was just, he was just checking to see if there's something there. Oh, that's bad for the business. Oh, God. God, that's so horrible.
But in terms of Saudi, I agree it's KO and Sammy. Part of me feels that way because I feel like this is, like, the cap on them. Like, Sammy feels like he doesn't have a Mania dance partner right now. I feel like we get KO and Orton, and we probably get Orton returning on Saturday. But then Sammy's just sort of left out there, which sucks.
So it's a Orton interferes, Sammy wins, and that kicks off KO Orton. Now Sammy gets thrown into the Intercontinental eight-man ladder match or whatever it ends up being.
Oh, crap, we have a lot of guys left that we should put on Mania. You're in this match. Go.
How about The Rock being turned down, being spurned by Cody, and Orton comes in and attacks Cody?
Oh.
I don't – do you want to see Orton and Cody in WrestleMania? Probably not.
Well, but you can't but you can't do that.
Right.
Like, they've already established that the winner of the chamber gets the championship.
This guy, you know, it's so funny, this Gabe Neitzel. This guy here. He really believes that there is, like, rules and regulations in WWE. He's covered
well,
so
no,
much.
Well, no, like,
sport.
You can't. If you advertise that this is for this and then don't follow through with it, like, you should rightfully be like just crucified on every show like ours. Because then why? What's the point of doing the match? What are we
I saw
doing?
God advertised for a match. Never saw him in the ring.
Right? Remember?
Yeah.
The McMahon's against Sean God? It.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, God! Thank you. And he had a jobber jacket. One fall.
One fall.
I remember. I mean, it's The Rock. Anything can happen, man. You're right. You have a rock. Why did you have Royal Rumble in Elimination Chamber if it's just going to be someone from the back coming in to be the... Who knows? It's that wide
but,
open.
But if you do that, but if you do something like that, it undermines everything that you do now.
That's correct.
Like, it just completely undercuts everything you've done previously, and you lose any and all goodwill.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay. All right. As long as we're on the same page.
No, that's right.
Is it a multi-man in that situation? Winner of the chamber, Cody and Orton?
I don't want no scramble match either. I want one-on-one on WrestleMania, pal.
I agree. But it feels like they have so many balls in the air. They're like, all four of you go out there.
I'm just fascinated to know how much Rock affects that whole balls in the air thing you just talked about.
Right.
Of him just saying, yeah, I got a few weeks. Okay, well, then let's do this then. Like, that's not – even under Vince, it was a clear – you know, week by week, you know exactly where they're going, and then the matches in the ring. For The Rock to just show up out of nowhere, like, hey, by the way, I'm going to be on SmackDown. Oh, you are? Okay, so who knows? Seriously. And I'll tell you one thing. If it was AEW, we would spend a half hour criticizing AEW for just being out of sorts and scrambled and just nonsense. But because it's The Rock's like, oh, Triple H will figure it out.
Yeah. Well, and because it's The Rock, like, the WWE doesn't say no because he's just such a boost. Like, SmackDown had their bet. I know we don't necessarily care about ratings, but TKO cares. Their partners care. USA cares. And when The Rock shows up, even though it's a meandering half-hour segment that doesn't make a ton of sense, it's their best numbers in who knows how long, right? Like, so anytime The Rock shows up, he just ends up being this artificial boost that they always get. And so they're always going to say yes.
I think we felt very comfortable, Gabe, that we looked at the clock. It was 8:45. Like, all right, he's got time. All right.
Yeah.
It's not up against the back of the hour. It's
Hunter's,
fine.
Yeah. Well, Hunter's going, I can't put him on last. No, like, no. We have a hard out. We don't have the extra time here. I can't put him on last. I have to put him on so that way when he goes long, I can cut something else from the show.
Yeah. Yes. He's very comfortable. Like, all right, it's 8:45. Let him go as long as he wants. My father, your father.
In terms of, like, Saturday, though, is it an issue none of us said the actual men's chamber?
I mean, no, I mean, we believe Punk
I think that just,
chamber.
Yeah, like, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun. And they tried to really make, you know, leave intrigue the way they had Punk and Logan Paul interact and, you know, the way that Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, like the whole thing, they're having everybody interact with each other and kind of trying to leave it up to mystery, which sure. But I also, again, I feel like Punk's going to win that. So I'm more interested in the women's and Sammy and KO because it seems like those have bigger mysteries behind what are they going to be doing next.
So Brian, go through it again. We got Paul, McIntyre, Punk,
Cena, Damian Priest, Seth Rollins.
Rollins. Okay. So the one, if we're going to do the checkoff list, Priest definitely is not winning it.
No.
Correct.
Unless it's a Jey Uso thing out of nowhere. Oh my God. Damian Priest wins it.
What? You can't do that on both title matches.
How? So are you ruling out Rollins second least?
Yeah, because it feels like Rollins Roman is. That's one of the very few things I feel confident about at WrestleMania is Rollins versus Roman.
You don't think we get Roman Rock?
No, because I don't think Rock's wrestling. I think Rock's involved. I don't think he's actually wrestling at Mania.
Like Punk wins the chamber and then the favor is like, hey, Roman, I need you to take care of Dwayne here.
But again, that only works if Cody says yes.
Right. Okay.
So where's Cena on there? I feel like Cena's not going to win it. And then you have to keep pushing this down for Cena. Like, he's going to be there the whole year. He will get a match, a title match. It's just not now. Later. SummerSlam?
Yeah, I feel like SummerSlam.
Yeah, Saudi? It feels like Cena at SummerSlam.
Oh, how about Crown Jewel?
I hope it's not Saudi. I hope it's not Crown Jewel.
So then who's...
I mean, who's second most likely to win?
Yeah, Cena, Drew, Logan Paul.
Drew. Because there is the connection, right? Like, and they're still out there. Like when Drew came back from his injury, only one person had reached out to me. Rock was the first one who like broke the news that Drew had extended his contract. Like, so
gave him a sword.
Loose, yeah, gave him the sword. So there's still like loose Rock Drew connections. So if Drew wins and Cody says no, like Drew would clearly agree to be Rock's corporate champion.
Wait, we're doing this wrong. The least per- I'm going by the ones that definitely are not winning. Logan yeah. Paul definitely is not winning. That's number correct. One. That's that. That is well. It is. It's FAU trying to get to the Final Four odds.
I put a few percent on it. It's a headline.
I put him. I put him at 2%. I would put yeah. Damian Priest at 0%.
Right. I agree with that.
2%. What's he got? Logan Paul. And so Cena. Okay. So Punk and McIntyre are the favorites.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That's I think it. Punk's one. McIntyre's two. Cena's probably three.
Yeah.
Rollins. The other two. Yeah. Rollins. Paul. Priest.
Okay. All right. So you put the money down on Logan Paul.
So this is from today. From Bet Online. Cena the betting favorite at minus 1300.
Oh jeez. Nah. Sweet Lincoln's mullet.
Punk plus what? 250.
Drew minus 1300? That is such an outrageous favorite.
Seth plus 2,000, Priest plus 4,000, Logan Paul plus 5,000.
Mm-hmm. That's Cena. That's no way he's coming out of the chamber. I don't think.
Yeah.
That's an overwhelming. Like I am just floored by that number.
Yeah, the women's side, Bianca's the favorite, minus 425.
Yeah, well, I think that's very possible. But I think your scenario is in play though when you talk about Cena and those odds, right? Your scenario is that Cena wins the chamber, and because The Rock and Cena have a relationship over the years, hey, I'm going to need you to take care of Cody. And Cena's like, I want a path to the championship, yes sir, and he does it. It may not feel like a heel, but he's aligned with The Rock, so you know how that works.
Yep.
So that's what Brian has. That's your scenario, so we'll see.
Now, BetOnline obviously agrees at minus 1,300.
Oh, it's a path. Landers. It's a path to the title match. So,
what do we got at number three this week?
All right, reports coming out this week from Sean Ross Sapp that he has spoken to multiple women in the WWE who are frustrated about the booking of the women's division, adds that, quote, some Mania pitches have actually been rejected. Is the WWE women's division booked well?
No. It is not. We've talked to a number of different women, and granted, not just WWE, but a number of different women on the show over the last calendar year. And it seems like a theme has been, hey, I would love to tell a meaningful story that does not involve a championship. And we don't have that in the WWE right now, right? Like there's no, I mean, the closest thing I guess we now have is Jade Cargill, depending upon how all that plays out when she comes back, because now a championship is not involved because, well, they dropped the championships this last week on Monday Night Raw. But there's no real meaningful stories going on inside that women's division that are just blood feuds, right? Like the best feuds that we've talked about over the life of this program haven't necessarily been for championships, although I feel FTR versus the Briscoes, obviously championships were on the line there. But this past year, Punk versus Drew McIntyre was one of the more compelling things in all of WWE. There was no championship on the line. Yeah, it was championship adjacent because somebody Punk cost him the championship. But we haven't seen that in the women's division. And we're going into the elimination chamber of, all right, who really makes sense to challenge Rhea Ripley, right? Like there's not a lot of strong characters, despite there being, and this is, again, not a knock on the women, because there's a ton of talent in that division. Like, I think that match is going to be fantastic, but there's just not a lot of strong character building with the pieces that they have.
Yeah, I would just say that they're going through a little bit of a transition. Like, it's good to see Charlotte back, and I think that match against Tiffy will be, you know, the best match that we've seen from Tiffy. But I feel like when I see Lyra Valkyria or when I watch Roxanne Perez, it's like, I see it's a great entrance, and then the bell rings. It doesn't mean that they're bad. It's just that they don't have, and I guess the programs aren't very good. Does that make sense, guys? Like, yeah. I feel like there's talent there, but the programs are weak.
Yeah, and I think that answers the question. Like Gabe said, like we're not getting those stories.
That's the whole thing. Like, I don't want to just shit on them and just be like, well, they're, you know, they're just NXT talent and they're just not. I mean, I'm sure that they can be good, but I would just tell you that NXT, TNA, and AEW are light years ahead of the main roster WWE women's talent as far as booking.
Yeah,
there's not even a question about it. Shawn Michaels, and of course it's Shawn Michaels. He makes sure that the women's division's tight and they look good and they're athletic. Light years away from what Triple H is doing. And I think that that's really unfortunate because there should be a balance there. So I just feel like they're just kind of spinning their wheels. Because when we look at Tiffy and Charlotte, I don't know if I need that match at WrestleMania. I wanted Tiffy to have a few more quality matches under her belt. Maybe this is a fast track for Charlotte to win again. Who knows? But I just feel like as we see Tiffy, we like the way she looks. We liked her athleticism. I like to see her in some matches where it's like, boy, there's a definitive Tiffany Stratton match instead of always lingering with Nia Jax and just the, you know, the mediocre of the women's division. You know?
I agree with all that. I mean, the report even said at one point, SRS said one of the women reached out to him saying, hey, can you ask around and like find out if I'm a heel or a face? Like an actual wrestler, like text saying that. And he said, it's not as bad as it was in years past, which I agree with. It's definitely on the up and up, but like they're missing something to the point where you mentioned it, Gabe, projecting ahead to Mania, which should be the big blow off to all these feuds. We're going to get the two title matches. The Rhea one's going to feel like it's just sort of thrown together. Like Rhea and Bianca will deliver in the ring. There's not going to be a story there. Is there another women's match you want to see right now? Because to me, the only one you mentioned, like it's Bianca and Jade. But like, if Bianca's tied up with the title, you're not getting that.
Correct. Which is again, I know Bianca's the betting favorite. Like, I would not be shocked if we just got something that I don't want to see. But if we got Liv versus Rhea again, like I'm all the way out on it. We've seen it enough. It's not. They are not in a fight forever, Sammy and KO situation. Like, no, I've seen it. It was fine. Don't need to see it on the grandest stage of them all. So it's just. There is a ton of talent. We know. I mean, Bayley's in that match. Like we've seen Bayley have some really good work and really good character work, but she's not anything really right now. She's just kind of, oh, this is, you know, kind of the way Randy Orton floated, you know, for a while, you know, from like 2016 to 2020, just like, oh, well, Randy's a, you know, he's a big name, future Hall of Famer, need to heat him up real quick. Kind of like AJ Styles is right now, you know, like, you know, he's really good. Just doesn't have much to do right now, and that's kind of where I feel Bayley is.
Becky works there. Honestly, we haven't seen her.
Yeah, she doesn't. They don't have creative for her. Honestly, the match I probably wanted to see the most, and they teased it. They're giving us on Monday Night Raw of Io Sky versus Rhea Ripley. Like that's Io should be in this Elimination Chamber match. Win that, and I would be really into that. But alas, that's not where we are.
No room on the PLE, pal. Go to Monday Night Raw. Okay.
Yeah. Like,
all right. And by the way, a great response for EO Sky. Undeniable. It's undeniable. The crowd is really into EO Sky. It's not because of her great promo ability. I think it's this. They see her and it's like, wow, she flies to the ring. She's a great attraction. And she's going to lose Monday.
I guess technically she's a heel because I think Damage Control's a heel faction, I think. Maybe.
Yeah,
but either way, like the crowd's giving her the right reaction. So to me, if you put her in the Elimination Chamber because she earned her way there, right? Like you can do a face versus face and have that still be a huge match with a lot of reactions at WrestleMania. If EO was in the Elimination Chamber, but she's not.
The text to Sean Ross app. Could you find out whether or not I'm a face or a heel? Thanks, Dakota Kai. or something like that. I'm sure.
But also, like, it's missing stuff to where we have sung the praises of Chelsea Green. She got us to care about that feud with Mee Chin, where like they had the dumpster match and everything. She doesn't have a spot on the card Saturday. I'm sure she'll work her way in, but she didn't have a Mania dance partner. Like, they're just missing story opportunities. And I felt like Monday's Raw was sort of like, oh, I don't know how to book the women, and then we got great wrestling. The tag match was great. The IC title match was great. But, like, there's still no stories there.
You see what's happened here? We'll wait until after Elimination Chamber, but I think it's worth a lower third on YouTube here for us to discuss the things that are problem WWE. Mm-hmm. Because the perception is, look, we're over here and we've got Evolve happening and NXT's great and Raw, we're on Netflix and we're on the USA Network and the road to WrestleMania, blah, blah, blah. This company for years has done the smoke and mirrors, the sleight of hand, like everything's fine. Everything's great. AEW sucks and everyone else sucks, but we're great. Can I just tell you, under Triple H, there's a lot of holes there. I'll just give you one example. Like, so we're going to have 13 months of a tease of Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. 13 months. They're going to break up. No, they won't. They're going to break up. No, they won't. And then when they do break up, there's nothing for Austin Theory. Right. He's already been ruined by Cena. He already ruined his career after he beat him at WrestleMania. So for 13 months, you've got nothing. And the money's in Grayson Waller, right? So it's like, it's what we just talked about before. Do you want a blood feud with Liv? You want Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley, right? How long did it take?
Raquel as a face. You always love that when Raquel's a face. She flexes.
Yeah, she's got muscles.
Yeah.
Just the back. She just flexes the back. That's all. Just wanted to show you how wide the back is. That's what she does.
So maybe you get her and Liv split up in a feud there.
But see, it's still things like that, though, that you say, well, WWE's fine. No, there's some holes there. We need to discuss this further on a podcast because it's fine on the top on some levels, and then the middle's just the shits.
Yeah.
You see the same matches all the time. Like, Vince is back.
Right. Well, that, I mean, how many times is Penta going to wrestle Pete Dunne? Like, right? And this is what I was scared of, like, when Penta first showed up. Like, he's getting this great reaction, but he's getting – I called it at the time. I said this is exactly what's going to happen when Andrade wrestled Carmelo 1,000 times in a row on SmackDown. That's basically what we're getting from Penta. Like, oh, he's really exciting. He's good in the ring. We don't know what else to do with him, so here's a different iteration of the same match we just saw last week.
Well, we raved about how great the New Day heel turn was, and obviously it resulted in 800 matches of the LWO, just as we envisioned, right?
The dream match.
Right.
So I think it's worth talking. I think we should discuss this because there's a laundry list of things. It's like, these things are good. The operation's good. They're making millions of dollars. They're doing – but what about like when the bell rings with a lot of this stuff?
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you what, too. The age of this roster is also concerning.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The age of the roster, very concerning. Obviously, good right now. Good, fine for now. But looking around the corner, what could be coming? That's where things get a little dicey.
You got young, hot, hotshot superstar Ricky Starks or Ricky
Saints.
What's his name? Ricky Saints.
Ricky Saints.
Who's 35. Who's ready to go. You're heating him up. Okay.
Yeah.
35. All right.
What do we have at news and notes?
All right. We'll start with the WWE World and their travel schedule, maybe a little lighter this year, was announced on a company called the Saudi Arabia Shows. You will have one in 2025. In 2026, we will see three of them, including the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. So again, not a big shock here. Still disappointed that the Rumble's going over there for that. And then they have to go back over two more times after. That's going to be rough in 2026. But again, not shocking. And I'm sure they're going to get a lot more than what the typical $50 million is that they get per show over there for Saudi. I'm guessing the Royal Rumble costs their government and the Crown Prince maybe a little bit more than the 50 mil.
There's a way to market this if you're in a different company. Because you see, and again, God bless WWE, you're taking that Saudi money, it's going to be almost $1 billion, I'm sure, in revenue, whatever. But you have to be able to say, hey, here's the company that's from North America. You have to actually do that. You have to be that company. It's like, while they're over there, we have a show here in New York, LA, Chicago, yeah. Milwaukee, Miami, Dallas. Like, we're right here. You want to do a Made in the USA gimmick if we're a wrestling company? Because it doesn't matter for WWE anymore. They're just going where the money is. And this is how UFC does it. But if you're a wrestling company, you have an opportunity now. While WWE is away, you can play in North America and start putting some big shows there. Like, hey, we're here. They're there. We're here. Come see us. That's how I do it.
Well, despite all the record earnings, still wrestlers getting sent their papers was learned this week. Carmella did not have her contract renewed. She posted a thank you on social media for the support and says she will explain more on a podcast soon.
Yeah, it didn't say what podcast.
Was Corey Graves' podcast, is that still on after the bell?
Isn't that a company one? I don't think.
I don't think she's going to appear on the company one and rip the company.
Why not? It's wide open. What are you talking about? You not see The Rock? You see Dwayne Johnson? It's wide open. Say it. Speak your piece. Say it.
Didn't Corey already get himself in enough hot water for making the comments that he did, and then had to have Michael Cole go on impulsive and try to like awkwardly explain that away?
I think that, you know what, that gives us some insight on maybe why Corey was pissed.
Yeah.
That promo probably would have been something along the lines of, you know, I'm the best broadcaster in WWE and now I'm exiled to NXT, and then you fire my wife. You don't, after she has her baby.
After she has a kid.
That kind of sucks, by the way. Yeah, you just had a baby. That's a tough one. I don't know how that works like anywhere else in the world. If I had a baby and you're fired, don't think that works. Think there's
because it's the only world where that happens.
That's not good. That's a suit. I think that's a lawsuit. But I think that maybe that's why Corey was pissed. Is like, I'm on NXT and now my wife doesn't have a spot in this company after she has a baby. Okay, that's a problem.
Yep. Elsewhere, women's wrestling, Mercedes Moné, in an interview with Katie Sackhoff, says that after she left the WWE in May of 2022, she considered stepping away completely from pro wrestling because of the pain it caused, then eventually dipped her toe in the water with New Japan, and here we are today.
I don't think that's that shocking, because the way things ended in WWE, obviously, were just like she put her feet in the sand and ended up walking away, and she's got other interests. I mean, she was, you know, a star in The Mandalorian on Disney Plus. Like, she could, you know, make that dive the way that The Rock and Batista before her, and now Cena as well, trying to, you know, make it as an actor. She's had a lot of opportunities, and she could have gone that direction had she chosen. So I'm not that surprised to know that after a messy breakup with WWE, she just wondered, hey, maybe I should be done with this completely.
Yeah, that report did not surprise me either. It's only AEW, in which you have four championships and you have no B-roll of showing how big a star Mercedes Moné is or perceived to be. She's on the red carpet. She throws out the first pitch at the Red Sox game. She always hangs out with the Boston Celtics at the basketball game. She is not an A celebrity, but definitely a middle of the like B celebrity.
Yeah.
Okay, but good enough where she's in a lot of different places. You don't think AEW should have some cameras following her wherever she does? No, I guess not.
This is you're on TNT, man. Like, the NBA is showing Celtics games like every week. You can't get a shot of her behind the. But what are we doing?
No, we'll just show the Outrunners at a Summit League game. The Summit League.
Hey, they got the dub though. They got the dub.
Hey, we're on SportsCenter, by the way, too. I don't know if you guys saw that. They were the Outrunners were on SportsCenter. They were there at center court. They were in the locker room and inspired that team to win. Uh-huh. Yeah, so at least they got that. The Outrunners know how to do marketing. They know
dropped an elbow on the garbage can in the locker room. I mean, that might be the March Madness funny. Team.
Yeah, it might be Jackrabbits or something. Uh-huh. I don't know. It's pretty good.
Finally, news and notes, Conrad Thompson said on the podcast, he's heard rumors that Vince McMahon is potentially looking into running a wrestling company on Fox. Fox representatives have denied those reports.
I can't imagine Fox, who was not happy with the, like, again, reportedly, I guess they've never officially said this, but the reports were they weren't super thrilled with the ratings that SmackDown got them and decided to, you know, pull the plug and have all these different games on Friday nights that with the different conferences they're associated with in college sports. So they decided to go that direction, yet they're saving a spot for Vince? Like, a new company's going to do better than SmackDown?
Conrad Thompson told Eric Bischoff in the podcast that, hey, Vince is asking for cameramen that could shoot wrestling.
Uh-huh.
So maybe old cameramen or former WWE staffers that could shoot wrestling. But the thing is that come to find out that Vince is going to have – he has an entertainment company, but it won't be wrestling. That's been confirmed by a couple of people. And again, if Vince did get back into wrestling, who is he picking up? I mean, look at the roster. I mean, there's some free agents here or there, but who is he getting? I mean, he'll be a distant third.
Well, Carmella's available.
Yeah. Ric Flair doesn't say no to a paycheck.
People will definitely want to tune in to see that. See Ric Flair.
He can bring back the Funkasaurus.
Yep.
Why does he buy NWA? That's what he should do. Buy the NWA from Corrigan.
Why not?
Oh, by God, what do we have at Ricky Morton's kid? Oh, God.
And Ricky Morton.
And Ricky
Morton. And Ricky Morton.
The Rock and Roll Express is here. God damn. Okay. Oh, the pterodactyl. Oh, God. Yeah, buy the NWA. There's an idea. Buy the National Wrestling Alliance.
Find not?
Get some TV. Because apparently the Smashing Pumpkin can't find TV. So
he's on the CW app. What else do you need?
He's off.
Oh, he's not even there anymore?
No.
No. No.
No. No.
Damn.
Didn't last that long.
Good old NXT took over. That's why.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. They got what? Nothing.
No. What do you boys have as your matches of the week?
You mentioned I really liked Orange against Takeshita.
Mm-hmm.
The main event. You saw a lot of near falls for Orange, but Takeshita, man, that's how you build a heel. That's how you build a guy that can get the job done. It's the best Don Callis family we've ever seen. Takeshita is a big part of that.
I love from Collision, a hologram and Beast Mordos.
Yeah, I was watching that going, Brian's going to love this thing, man.
Yep. That's their show. Just let those guys go out there and go.
There's money, man. There is money in Commander and
Hologram. And Hologram. Mordos. Yeah. Collision.
There's money in that tag team.
I don't know if they're going to do anything with it, but they're fun to watch.
Naomi and Bel Air versus the Judgment Day main event Raw. Although I don't think that when Dominic put Liv's leg on the rope, I don't think that could have been any more in front of the official. Like the way, again, it's just one of those awkward timing things, but you're watching it on TV going, there's no way the official didn't not see that. And he has to pretend like he didn't see it. So he doesn't eject Dominic out. But like Dominic's like, well, I got to do this. This is part of what I got to do. And it's just the whole angle of where the ref was and the way it was shot was just unfortunate because it's like, well, that was blatant. That was obvious.
I know this is going to sound ridiculous coming from my mouth, and I always have ridiculous things to say, as you well know, but that was an expose on the business.
Mm.
and it's wrestling, and it's an expose on the business. I mean, like, it's all the referee's fault.
Yeah,
100%. Like, I'm confronting him if I'm Triple H after the match. Like, what the hell, man? Like, you're supposed to pretend like, you're supposed to be out of position to see that. It's right in front of you. Move. Yeah. Don't look at me because now it's an expose on what we just did there. Like, I understand it's about major motion pictures and it's Netflix now. I guess it doesn't matter. But the point is, like, that sucked.
Well, yeah, because he was like, he was behind, like, he was to the side of them. He needed to be up where, like, their heads were. And that way you could, like, sneakily still somehow get away with whatever was going on. But, yeah, referee, I don't know if I just noticed that throughout the course of that match. I felt like that official was almost in the way all the time. Like, kickouts, he's rolling out of the way. It was a rough – but the match, the four performers were fantastic.
I also, Monday, I actually enjoyed the triple threat match. And Kaiser getting a win, that never happens.
Yeah, Kaiser
Penta and Pete
bullying
Dunne.
Penta out.
Yeah.
So you enjoyed seeing Penta and Pete Dunne for the seventh time.
Yeah. Usually I fast forward to triple third. Like, oh, it's a little different. I'll watch it. It was good.
Tiffany Stratton and Kaiser are an item.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
That's good. Had no idea. Had no idea.
I saw Kaiser with Chris Van Vliet. Boy, he's just like, he's so happy to be in the company.
Yeah,
he kind of toned down the accent. You know, I'm really happy to be around. He's very casual. He's a happy man. He likes his spot in the company. It was the best Bad Apple match we've ever seen against Will Ospreay.
Wow.
It's Will Ospreay. I mean,
I was about to say it's with Will Ospreay. I'm not taking away from the match because it was good, but like I was expecting it to be good.
That's the it's Will Ospreay. That guy goes a million miles an hour, and if you don't screw up, that's a hats off to you. That's pretty good for Bad Apple. I haven't seen Bad Apple wrestle that well.
But again, so here's the nitpick. He wasn't the Bad Apple during the match. Despite the Jumbotron saying Bad Apple, he was back to the Bounty Hunter because he was a hired gun by the Callis family.
Yeah, so that's the funny thing. Like, we saw a few of those matches from him when he got to the company, when he got signed, and it was a big deal. So I had higher hopes for that match. Like, I didn't write that match down because it was good. But, I don't know, I feel like I expected a little bit more from those two.
Happy Black History Month to Bad Apple, Bounty Hunter, that guy.
Right. And a Will Ospreay match.
Yeah.
He did get a Will Ospreay match.
Yeah.
He did get a Will Ospreay match. So many things happening in the world of pro wrestling. We've got back-to-back weekends now with PLEs, pay-per-views, whatever you want to talk about. But the first one, obviously, coming up is on Saturday in Toronto with the Elimination Chamber. If you happen to miss any of this show, previous shows, want to go look at some old interviews we've done, take a look. YouTube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. Check out all the content that we have over there. But we'll be back here next Thursday reacting to that Elimination Chamber, previewing Revolution for AEW right here on GKW.
So much product.